You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marcia Bailey continue with No More Drama.
So we've been talking about overcoming family drama or no more drama. We've gotten a lot of feedback that a lot of people were blessed by last week. And thought it was applicable to us. As I've been saying, we all come from families. You know, I was thinking about something today. You know, when you study psychology and sociology and those kind of things, everything, you're always going back to parenting and the kind of family that you were born and raised in and all those kind of things. And I can tell you, as a child coming up, particularly in the church and Pentecostal church, we didn't deal with any of that stuff. We were just like, you just need the blood. You need Jesus, lay hands, and we never dealt with any of this family dysfunction. And so you got a lot of spiritual people who are still very dysfunctional because they never connected the dots between why you are the way you are. And this whole family thing, y'all, whether you realize it, it affects us far more than we think. And a lot of times we're just not conscious of it. When our conscious, everything it's a simple thing. I don't think I do it as much anymore because I guess I'm not around anymore. But there was a time, every time I laughed, you hear me say it before, I used to laugh like this. And then, you get around the Baileys, that's all the Baileys laugh. So even it was even affecting my laugh. Just the family you're around. Your habits, your attitudes, the way you respond, your facial expressions, that attitude you have, good or bad, positive or negative, it's so many times it's learned behavior, either consciously or unconsciously, as a result of the families that we've come up in and what we've been around. So, and you can either perpetuate drama or put a stop to it. And that's the goal in us teaching about no more drama, okay? Now,
you want to do your disclaimer, or
no? I'm going to address that again, okay? Because and last year I did a pre-qualifier, a disclaimer, or no, I'm not calling a pre-qualifier introduction to this, saying this is not trying to shine light or negative light on anybody's family, trying to make anybody feel bad, trying to make anybody defensive,
right. Okay?
Which apparently some people got defensive because I got an email from somebody who was defensive, want to give me a different perspective. Ain't about me having a different perspective. I'm showing you the word of God. And it's not about us pointing a finger on you, which is why I started off and talked about my own family, didn't I? I talked about all the drama I came up in because I don't want anybody to think that I'm thinking, you know, that we got this perfect family, this perfect person, and don't have any issues because of my family being perfect. And I'm trying to point a finger at you. No, I'm trying to show you that I don't care where you come from. The idea is we want to make things better for our children's children. We cannot undo what's been done.
Right.
And a lot of what's been done, it was done to us and we didn't do it. So I'm not trying to put guilt on anybody. Okay. Paul says in Galatians, the fourth chapter, fifth chapter, he says, you did run well. Who did hinder you? Okay, he realized, there's been some influence that caused you to act like this. Even when Adam and Eve sinned, and Adam said, well, we was naked. And first thing God said, well, who told you was naked? Even God was saying, there's been some influence to make you the way you are because this is not the way God intended for it to be. Amen. So nobody got to get defensive. Nobody got to tell me the exception in your family and all this kind of stuff. It's not about that. We're showing you from the scripture. As I started off last week, we looked at some biblical roots of family drama. And then we're talking about what we have to do to move forward. And by looking at the roots, hopefully what I was showing you is that we even realized, man, that was in the scripture. That's what caused that there. And then if you see that that's affected you, now you make a decision to change. And you make a decision to say, man, I realize the same thing going on in my family or that I've done, and that's not how I want to continue, and that's not how I want things to be for my children and my children's children.
You know, sometimes when you are uncomfortable, you hear something, you feel uncomfortable, makes you feel awkward, and the reflex, you know,
it's the clap back.
It's the clap back, or the point of finger, or to try to reject it, deny it. But when there's a place of discomfort, I think maturity, you know, or just being open, but say, let me take a look at this. Why am I uncomfortable? Why does this make me feel annoyed? And sometimes when, you know, it's just like when you're working out or, you know, or you've been injured, you'll feel pain where something was broken. But you got to keep on stretching it and kind of keep on working it, and you got to keep on applying weight. When we've been injured within our families, sometimes when that thing is touched, when your heart is touched, or that area that was broken, maybe in regarding a parental thing, it, when you come across something that deals with, let's just say, acceptance or unconditional love or what have you, you will start feeling uncomfortable and some pain. And the natural response is to run from it, to deny it, or to be angry by it. But it's the challenging thing for us, especially when we're armed with the word. I think that's what's so powerful about being a believer. God's like, this world is broken. You've been through some broken stuff, but I've given you something so perfect that will help you through your brokenness. And so we just have to stop departmentalizing our life. We use the word when, you know, if we want it for finances or for physical healing, but when it deals with these issues, these, you know, these pet things, these things we like to hide regarding our emotions, regarding, you know, our personalities, whatever the case may be, we want to tuck that away in the closet. But God said, I want that. And we can see when he wants it when we're uncomfortable or maybe when you're angry. You know, there's sometimes there's certain subject matters makes a person angry. You know, it's not that the person is wrong who's making you angry. It may be touching a sore spot. And God said, let the word get to that versus attacking that person. So, you know, every year when we do something regarding focus on the family, and sometimes when we talk about, you know, on Mother's Day or Father's Day, we talk about certain things, we feel like we always have to come in and say, this is not to make you feel bad.
And some of that's about just us growing up.
Growing up and avoiding putting yourself in the category of comparison. Sometimes we're constantly comparing our lives, what we do, what have it to each other. So when we hear something, I think it's more challenging more so today because we are subject to comparison through social media. You know. And so now we unknowingly find ourselves, you know, in the rhythm of comparison. It's to the point that when we start teaching this word, which is perfect, that challenges us, it's not to make you feel less than. It's to challenge you to become better.
Amen. So we start talking about overcoming family drama. I'm going to quickly review. We looked at some biblical roots of family drama. We looked at Adam and Eve, Genesis 3 and 12. He started blaming the woman. And so, but the bottom line, what the friction that they started with Adam and Eve started because of disobedience to God's laws and God's principle. Blame. Not taking personal responsibility, rather than Adam saying, you know, I messed up, I did. He said he blamed it on the woman. And also lack of communication. There was some lack of communication there because it looked like he potentially could have stopped it or he didn't communicate something to Eve. So we looked at that. We saw Cain and Abel. Genesis 4 and 8, when Cain talked to his brother Abel, then he killed his brother. And we saw the root of that was selfishness. Because he wanted to keep the best for himself, which is why he didn't give God the best. Cain became jealous of his brother Abel, even though he should have been, if he really wanted to be man with God, because he did what God required and God received this gift. And then we also see a lack of communication here. He could have went to his brother and said, listen, I mean, what, you know, I see God received your gift. He didn't receive mine. Rather than be mad at his brother, instead no communication, said the communication ends up being murder. Then we looked at Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah, Genesis 21, 9 and 10, Sarah saw Ishmael making fun of her son Isaac. And so she said, listen, this woman got to go. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. That's dramatic. That's drama anyway, even though they got these shows, these reality shows. Isn't it drama when two women try to share one man?
That's a lot of drama.
Is that drama out of... I ain't never been in the midst of that, so. But that might cause some drama. Especially in the same house.
In the same house.
Yeah, I can't imagine. But the bottom line, they were in that situation because they tried to come up with an alternative to God's plan. Oh, boy. Is shacking an alternative to God's plan? Yes, it is. People try to come up with shacking as an alternative. God's plan is marriage. Marriage is honorable and the bed's undefiled. Well, people are, they want to, well, let's try it out first. Okay. And then you end up, and then, you know, you do that enough times, you end up practicing. People don't realize it. Before you ever divorce, you've practiced the spirit of divorce. You've already practiced. So that feeling becomes so familiar to you, rather than us being married and saying, hey, this is my wife, and this is my husband. We vowed to be together. No, this ain't first thing. You ain't the first man I've had. You ain't going to be the last. Is that kind of attitude? You ain't the first woman I had. You ain't going to be the last. In some cases, you ain't the first one I live with, and you ain't going to be the last. I'll get rid of you and move on to another. And God never intended for marriage to look like that. I said something to a couple recently, because we observed something at a recent wedding that we strictly could observe. We saw vows and we saw expressions of love. And so we were sitting down with a couple who were getting ready to get married, and they said to us, they said, we just want to let you know we want to do our own vows. And I said to them, I said, now, are we going to do are you going to do vows or are you going to do expressions of love? And they said, what's the difference? I said, well, expression of love is saying, you know, from the first time I saw you, I knew you were special to me. And you just make my heart go pitter patter. And I just love you. And I love you to the moon and back. And you're the sun, the moon, and the stars. And I just love you. And I'm going to be with you. That's expressions of love. That ain't a vow. And so I explained to him. I said, okay. I said, a vow is I commit that I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to be with you for the rest of my life. I am committed to serving you, to loving you, to submitting to you, to taking care of you, and going through anything with you. That's a vow. And so what I realized today, some of these young couples, they come together making an expression of love, and they ain't never made no vows. Because, see, you simply saying how you feel right now. Well, I said that, but that ain't how I feel now. Well, a vow goes beyond your feelings.
Yeah. Remember the vows we saw in Nigeria?
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Those were pretty. I don't know. Were those vows or statement of?
He made them commit to everything.
Everything.
He made her commit to staying with her no matter how fat she got.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Publicly. What you saw with?
Uh-huh.
That was some vows.
Some out there scenarios. If she came home and she said she'll never do, let's say, never cook, will you still love her?
And be with her.
And be with her.
Yeah.
Will you still treat her as your wife? And he'd be like, I will.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was.
And, you know, and I realized something. Really, I thought of a situation where the people were very deliberate to not say for better or for worse. So they didn't vow for better or for worse. So as soon as stuff looked like start getting worse, they start dipping. See, it's no promise. We believe everything going to get better. But there can be some times you go through some times where it ain't feeling better right now. Amen. All right, let's move on here. We saw Jacob and Esau. Did we look at Jacob and Esau? Okay. Jacob and Esau. Genesis 27:41. It says, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. So we know that Jacob swindled, hoodwinked, conned his brother out of his birthright. Okay. And Esau means slickster, swindler, stealer, robber, etc. That's what the name means. And so Esau, when he stole the blessing by deceiving his father who was blind, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. There's so much in that right there. You're going to hate me because I'm blessed. Okay? And I didn't cheat nobody. I didn't swindle nobody. God has blessed me because he chose to bless me. You can't hate somebody because they're blessed. Amen? Because the blessing was his father blessed him. Esau said in his what? He said in Genesis 27:41, Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father at hand. He thought his father would give him, Isaac, right? Isaac's about 100 years old at the time of this. He said, the days of mourning my father at hand, you know, it won't be long now, my father going to die. Unfortunately, he lived about another 40 years. Okay. So look, somebody, don't count me out. He said, the days of my mourning my father had. And he said, my father's going to be dying any day now. As soon as he dies, I'm going to kill my brother. And he lived about another 40 years. With the interesting thing about, which was enough time for him to overcome that anger.
Right.
Okay. But he said this. Now, he's committed to killing his brother. This is drama, isn't it? Is it not? And what's the root of this? Jealousy. Okay. Covetousness here in the case of Jacob, who wanted what didn't belong to him. There's a position that the firstborn son had that he had. How many times even, you know, people, I heard a pastor preaching about this today. He said, he fed 5,000. He sent out 70. Okay, ended up with 12, and among those 12, he had three who was closer to him, who he took with them with him where everybody else didn't go.
Yeah.
Now, God ordained that. Now, the rest of the disciples, how come we didn't go to the Mount of Transfiguration? Because I didn't want to take you.
Right.
But we can get jealous sometimes of people's proximity to another person. And here he's jealous of his brother's position, that he was born first. In this case, probably by a couple minutes or something. I mean, there was something wrong with that boy. He was fighting for it in the womb, the Bible says. The Bible said when they were trying to get ready to come out the birth canal, Jacob had his hand on Esau's foot coming out. From the beginning. What is that? That in the womb, he just, boy, okay. But so there's some other things we have to look in this case of Jacob and Esau. How about bad parenting? Bad parenting. In this case, because, who was it, Rebecca? Was Rebecca the mama here?
Rebecca.
Yeah, Rebecca's the mama. Jacob is her favorite. So she helps him to scheme to take the firstborn's position and take his. So that's bad parenting. And can I tell you, even when you're parenting, you may have one child do one thing, you have one child do another, and you have. Watch it. Some of them are easier to raise than others. Some of them you got to beat every day, and some of them look at you like that's all you got. You only going to beat me once a day. It's going to take at least 10 beating for me. You know, children, but you have to really be deliberate about not showing favoritism to children when you're raising children. We got bad parenting here. And then watch this. She came up with the scheme for Jacob to take Esau's blessing. And then she came up with the scheme for him to get away with it. Mm-hmm. Came up, listen, you got to go. I'm just out of order for you to go here. And I mean, what kind of mess is this? Mm. Which also shows there's some division within the marriage.
Right.
That she even would think to hoodwink and scheme against her husband.
Right. And then she trained her son to be a schemer.
Right.
To be a manipulator. You know, so that trait she passed on to her son. Isn't that something?
Now let me add something else here. So now we got a dysfunctional parent, watch this, giving bad counsel. dysfunctional parent giving bad counsel. Girl, if I was you, I would do such and such. You ought to do such and such. No, but what they, that's your mama, that's your father, but what they're telling you is wrong. And can I tell you, in this case here, when we study this, these wasn't little kids. These were grown amen. That means adult. Okay? I don't know why y'all keep thinking that means something else.
I don't know. Borderline, Bishop.
This grain, grown A, that means grown adult men. And at some point, watch this. There's a time when a grown adult man or woman got to stand up against their parent.
And that's a dilemma.
Say, no. What you telling me? This ain't right.
Yeah, that's a dilemma, y'all. And that's a hard place for a person to draw the line. Because you love your parent. You know, and so I think the challenge is for many of us to understand, I can love you and disagree with you at the same time. And so, you know, and so I've had bad counsel from my mom years ago, you know, but I had enough
wisdom
at a young age to realize, I don't think I should do that. And I also had enough wisdom to know my mother's personality. I didn't tell her, I don't think I should do that. You know, and so it's just that you have to walk wisely and avoid unnecessary drama. If I would have said, you know, Mom, that's some crazy stuff. I'm not going to do this. I would have had drama. So I'm like, okay, I just listened to what she had to say. I respected her, but I knew in my heart, I'm not going to carry out that advice. And I didn't have to, which means I had to draw a line. When you have people in your life, and that's another, we have individuals in your life that possibly may not be wise in the area of counsel. You have to learn how to navigate that and not run back to my mom. I didn't run back to my mom with everything, you know, because I knew.
She already didn't like me. I'm not being funny here now.
She did.
We knew it was the will of God for us to be together. We knew her mama already didn't like me. So any situation we're going through that she tells her about is going to give her more reason not to like me.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have the, you know, mama, can you help us with money? We don't have rent this month. Mm-hmm. That don't know. I know he wouldn't be able to pay no rent.
Yeah.
And had nothing to do with me being a low good, a low down, no good so-and-so. Has to do with just from financial situations that we're in right now.
Right. So it's just really a hard place for us to draw that line.
Are you building the God kind of family, or is your family plagued with turmoil? God wants the best for you and your family. Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marcia Bailey share personal and practical experiences to help you move your family forward so there is no more drama. Order this series today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. Ask for no more drama.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, Women's Bible Study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.